You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Happy Easter.
Yes, indeed, Jim. And in Vancouver, we're blessed again with another lovely day. Very, very nice.
It's nice after 3 months of rain.
But it only seems like 3 months of rain.
Yes, we had a very dry January. They're worried about the snowpack here.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we're back to the usual BC springtime headlines of worries about floods and wildfires.
Yeah, well, when this melt comes in, of course, there's going to be floods. And then, of course, they're willing to ramp up concerns about wildfires at any time of the year. So,
well, in past years, a wet spring has meant really strong growth and then a dry summer, so there's a lot of brush to burn. Anyway, let's not worry about that. We have so many other things that we have to take a look at. Now, first off, even though the market made such a sharp downward correction, gold held its own. Why is gold now seemingly the safe place to be?
It has been incredible. Gold's bullion price, as the world knows, is now over $3,000 U.S., but it has been a wonderful rise, but it didn't include the gold stocks, because I think the real side of central banking understands there is only one reserve. And that reserve is gold, and it always has been, and it always will be. So there are headlines occasionally about central bankers buying gold. And for whatever, I don't know what their thinking is, but it's certainly doing the right thing. Because in a post-bubble contraction, gold's real price goes up as the costs of mining gold go down. And the gold miners make money. It's wonderful. And gold miners making money, they increase production, so you get increasing amounts of gold going into the credit markets, cash money system, whatever, and it restores its kind of liquidity. So I welcome it,
Now, gold stocks, why haven't people piled into that? Shouldn't that correspond to the price of gold?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jim, but it's just not yet, but I think awfully close. And at previous bottoms of a market for gold stocks is that they don't all bottom at the same time, and the seniors will get turned around and head up, and then the middle-sized companies, and then eventually the illiquid juniors will start to participate. And as you know, we've got a list of junior gold stocks that we kind of like. And we put together the list in December 23, and it's been doing quite well. Ross updated the charts for me the other day, and looks good. So it's a good way to participate in gold stocks.
And that would be chartsandmarkets.com, right?
Yeah, you can get in touch with us, and we would be very pleased to send the list out.
Now, the whole world trade market now in turmoil because of U.S. tariffs. 245% on some Chinese goods.
Yeah.
Where did the idea of tariffs start?
Oh, it goes way back. Now, the U.S., since Second World War, really was the parent economy that helped Britain defeat the authoritarian forces in Europe. And but then there was all kinds of protectionism in Europe. How many Chevrolets was the U.S. selling into Germany? None. how many Mercedes and BMWs were being sold into the U.S. Many. So this is where Trump is on to it, and there are price protections and just bureaucratic inertia protections. So the U.S. just hasn't been able to sell cars into, let's say, Germany. So I'm in agreement with Trump on cracking this open. And so he's doing it with tariffs. Now, there's another benefit from the tariffs that Trump is employing, Jim, and that is he has announced that he wants to cut the cost of federal bureaucracy and reduce the bureaucracy and then fund it as ages ago governments were funded by taxes on things being imported into the country. So let's call them tariffs. And then he would be able to get rid of income tax, means getting rid of the Internal Revenue Service. And then I saw one the other day. They've got millions and millions. The Internal Revenue Service has got thousands and thousands of assault weapons and millions of rounds. Now tell me, why would the tax collector be so well armed? I can't figure it myself, Jim. So anyways, this employment of tariffs is to balance, crack open the doors in Europe to American products and make the, and then the other one is that his tariff setup, and the U.S. with Canada is such a large economy that the world's going to want to be in, so they will. Now, the other part that I like that he's working on is he accuses Canada as being the 51st state, and he was, of course, working over Trudeau, and the current prime minister is just such a turkey. Oh, God, he's an ardent global warmer. CO2 is bad, so I think the election in Canada, the Conservatives are going to win. But at any rate, Trump has been taking a shot at these guys as well, so I think Ottawa is going to get reformed. It's going to be most unwilling. And so anyways, to continue the theme about tariffs, the end result would be an open and porous border, north and south, and people and ideas and goods and services transported back and forth, making one huge trading bloc. And it would improve prosperity for everybody, and this is where I think we're heading us, a benign border. Now, the other thing that is actually happening, leader of the federal opposition, Pierre Poilievre, is talking about getting rid of the tariffs from province to province to province, and this has been an internal tariffs and blockages to trade, and I believe it will get done. So on these issues, it's very exciting times.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford and the Atlantic provinces have just signed a free trade agreement. Like, it is funny, according to the British North American Act, which enacted Canada and started our path of freedom from Britain, there's not supposed to be any trade barriers within Canada yet, to explain to people maybe outside the country. In British Columbia, where we make fabulous wine and craft distilled spirits, we can't send them to Alberta.
Yeah.
Because we're not allowed to, because they want to protect their little craft industries and so on. Yeah. Instead, so you can't buy Newfie Screech, you know, the provinces did meet with the Prime Minister a while back. They agreed they're going to start working on this. And I guess Ontario and the Atlantic provinces are first to strike.
Yeah, well, some of our listeners out there may not know what Newfoundland screech is.
Oh.
And I believe it's where they bring in the barrels of rum, then we bottle it, and then you've got all of the goodies in the inner oak barrel. So you put in
the byproducts.
Water or something, and you make Newfie screech. And, of course, you know the slogan of Newfoundlanders.
Go ahead.
Oh, they're very strong for freedom of screech.
Oh. It would be their First Amendment freedom of screech.
Oh, I've been to Newfoundland. I liked it. We had friends to stay at with, and we had a wonderful time.
Bob, you have some interesting headlines we'll take a look at right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, what's the first headline that caught your attention?
I got one here from the Wall Street Journal. Exclusive. A depleted Hamas is so low on cash that it can't pay its fighters. Hey, the bad guys are going broke. I love it.
Well, when they talked about a war on cash, they meant it.
Oh, yeah. Then here's another one. The U.S. dollar's role as the de facto global reserve currency is looking increasingly uncertain. And then also, in the recent Trump has come out with something about the U.S. dollar being a reserve currency is not really helping anything. And he was pushing the Fed to cut rates, so that's not wise. But the reserve currency is always chosen by market forces. And it goes back to the Roman coinage 2,000 years ago. And then it was the florin of the city-states in northern Italy, Florence. And then it was they discovered so much silver at Augsburg in Austria that they literally called it a mountain of silver. And then their coinage was silver-based, and the word at the time in that area for valley was thaler, and then the coinage was called a thaler, from which it eventually became a dollar. So then after Augsburg, the international trade and the Dutch ascended with Antwerp being the world's commercial and financial center. So you had the guilder and strength there. And from the 1870s on, in the 1800s, it became the financial center was London, and the senior currency was sterling, and that was the way it was until following World War II, when then New York became the world's financial center, and the dollar was becoming the senior currency. It's fascinating to sort of look back on 2,000 years of financial history, but hey, it's in the books.
Yes, and the BRICS currency, they keep floating that every year. Oh, we're going to introduce this currency. It hasn't been formally introduced. BRICS standing for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and some Middle Eastern nations are also in on it. But unofficially, it's trading at $30.44 U.S. Yeah. It's called the unit.
Yeah, well, they may... There's always a lot of animosity against the senior currency. There's certain benefits to the country for it. And then you get people envious, or governments or bureaucrats or politicians envious of this. And then they can just start a brick brick ain't going to go nowhere. It's bloody hopeless. They just, because the initial thing a couple of years ago when they started going on about the brick is that it would be wonderful because it was also would be convertible into commodities. You've never had a commodity-backed currency. If it's backed by something, it'll be by gold. So there's some ideas floating around there. And here's, I got another headline here. New York business leaders say economic outlook worse since the Lehman problem. Yeah, I think it's a valid headline. The global economy is probably retreating. The financial markets are precarious. And we also remind ourselves that if there's going to be anything good, it'll come out before mid-year. And if there's anything bad, it's usually discovered after mid-year, and more particularly in the fall of the year. So, that's very reliable. If there's going to be a financial crisis discovered, more than likely it'll be in the fall of the year.
So what we're seeing right now is nothing. It could be worse this fall?
Oh, yeah. I think we're heading towards that.
Any more headlines, Bob?
Yeah. Here's another one. Ontario to loosen internal trade. Remove barriers on alcohol and labor mobility. This is, again, it's really coming in. And then the other one is the Premier of Ontario. What's his name? Doug Ford.
Yes.
With the threats from the U.S. and on tariffs and whatnot. And he said, oh, we must respond as a team. And then wanted Alberta to carry the whole load and cutting oil and no denying oil to, you know, whatever. So, yeah, Doug Ford's idea of a team was forcing Alberta to do something that Alberta just ain't going to do.
Well, Doug Ford did threaten to withhold Ontario hydropower to New York State and I think three other states as well. And then that's been taken off the table.
Oh, yeah. Trump really slammed him on that one. That's really getting evil to cut the power. That's bad, bad stuff. The grid is precarious enough as it is, and you start fooling around with massive amounts of electrical generated and equally massive distributed. It's scary to think of.
Bob, are you worried that Alberta will want to separate if Mark Carney wins the election? He's the Liberal leader versus Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre.
I'd be delighted if Alberta left. It would set a good example. But I think from what the debate was recently here with the political figures, I don't think Carney has a hope in hell of winning.
Anything else you want to jump on, Bob?
No, I think we've had a fun session here, Jim, and can look forward to next week.
If you have any questions for Bob, he loves to answer them. You can send them to info@howstreet.com. We've been speaking with Bob Hoy. He's a market historian and the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. You can find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.